you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Well, hello again, everybody. I'm your guest host today on the Tough Things First podcast, Guy Smith. And as always, we're standing here with Ray Zinn talking about leadership, management, entrepreneurialism, and all those things that tend to make Silicon Valley click. And good morning to you, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Guy. Thank you for asking. Look forward to our discussion today.
Okay. Well, it's going to be an interesting discussion today because what we're going to be talking about is great leaders. What makes a good leader? What makes a great leader? How do you find leaders in your organization and raise them up through the organization? And so we'll dive right into it. You've hired a lot of people over the years, the 37 years that you ran MyCrell, and you promoted a lot more up through the ranks. So what was the single most important character trait you looked for in a leader?
They have to be people-centric. You know, if they care about people, that's the most important ingredient for being a good leader. So what is a leader? A leader is one who gets things done through people. And if you don't have that savoir faire, as they say, with your people, it's unlikely they're going to follow you. And which gets into another discussion, which is being a servant leader. So the best leaders are also the best servants. So you find out how willing they are to serve others, as opposed to just, you know, being a dictatorial type of a leader. And I've had plenty of those that have worked for me in the past.
I find that interesting because as the global economy moves forward and as we as a nation become less of an industrial society and more of an information society, the nature of the workforce is changing. And, you know, we're depending less on low-skilled laborers turning a wrench on an assembly line as we are about very, very smart people figuring out how to program web farms. You know, so does that leadership thing, that people skill set, is that going to become more important as we continue down this economic path?
Sure, because as you pointed out, with the technology advancements we have, people tend to be more creative. They're not as, you know, worker type as you would worker bees. They're more leader type bees. Let's put it that way. So they are not as easily corralled, and as they say, like herding cats. You know, they're not as easily corralled as cattle or sheep, and you can't treat them that way. So it takes a great sensitivity and understanding of their work environment, the kind of work they're going to do, the fact they're very creative people, to be able to solicit the most performance from them.
Well, I guess then that if you were looking out for somebody who was not going to be a good leader, let's say you had somebody who had a lot of the different qualities, is there any like one negative aspect that you would really look out for to say, no, I cannot trust this person to be a leader with inside my organization?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we have four cultures at MyCrell. First is honesty. Second is dignity. First is honesty. Second is integrity. Third is dignity and respect for every individual. And then the fourth is doing whatever it takes, no excuses. So the first three really deal with people. Being honest with them, having the integrity, doing what's right when no one's watching. But most importantly, to have the respect for every individual. No swearing, no condescending language, no yelling, screaming type, you know, in the organization. So when I interview them, I try to find out just what kind of a person they are. I call their previous employers, anybody that I can get some sense of how they led and directed people, so that I find the kind that are people-centric. So I call those people-centric people.
Are those natural traits, though? Are they things that you could take a competent manager and teach them how to be a humanistic leader?
Okay, so that goes to those, like the colors, you know, am I a red, a blue, a yellow, white, you know, personality, class A, you know, class B, C, whatever they call those different colors. And so people who tend to be more of a red or a super A personality, they tend to be more egocentric. They tend to have more, they're more driven. And so if they're highly driven, even of themselves, they tend to do that with their people. And not everybody is of the same type or color. And so, you know, you have to understand that, that every individual in your organization is different. And you can't treat them as a group. You have to treat them as individuals. They have a name. They have a family. They have an address. You know, they actually live as a human being. They eat and drink and sleep like we do. And as they say, put on their pants one leg at a time. So, you know, you have to treat them as individuals, not as a group.
So with inside of the management teams and leadership ranks that you managed, massaged, you know, lifted up, did you ever see somebody really change, flip a switch, really become that humanistic management? And if so, did it change anything outside of their work life? Did it somehow change them as a core human being and do something better for them holistically?
Yes. In fact, whenever I hired an executive, or in fact anybody that, that worked directly for me, I said, I'm not here to make you rich. I'm going to help you become a better person, a better father, mother, husband, wife, citizen in the community. So I don't care where they are. I mean, they could be, you know, not the most, you know, respectful person on earth, but if they got the other skills and they're willing to learn, I'm willing to work with them. I'm willing to help them become a better person. And that becoming a better person just makes them a better leader. And so I would say that at least 75% of the time, I was successful in helping them become a better person. As opposed to just staying as they were. In other words, I said about a fourth of them, they're who they are, and they're not going to change, nor do they want to change. They kind of like who they are, and so those individuals don't come up to the challenge, and I end up probably letting them go.
Well, let's talk about this in the entrepreneurial context, because a lot of times people do startups, they're on a shoestring, they can't always pick the employees they want, and sometimes they can't even pick, you know, junior managers that they want. If you had one bit of advice for that startup CEO who really has a vision and, you know, has to build teams of these new intelligent people who don't turn wrenches for a living, what would that one bit of great leadership advice be?
Praise your people. Praise them beyond praise. Just express your gratitude to them for selecting your company, to being there, you know, recognizing that they're having to work a little longer hours, that they're having to maybe work for a little lower salary, but thank them for that. You know, express your appreciation to them as often and frequently as possible.
Okay. Well, I think that's a lot of good advice. And there's so many startups here in Silicon Valley, and they are all struggling not only to get product out the door, but to get people to work together as a team. And I think this leadership advice is going to probably save one or two companies before they blink out of existence. So thanks again, Ray. And for everyone who's listening, by all means, stop by toughthingsfirst.com. Among the things you're going to find there are some social links at the top so you can connect directly with Ray on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. And be sure to stay tuned for the next episode. We've got more interesting stuff coming up in the next edition of Tough Things First.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.